I want to preach this morning on the thought of Christ in the events of our life. And so in John chapter 2, we're going to read verses 1 down through verse number 11, then we'll get into the message this morning. Notice what the Word of God says. In the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there six water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing two or three firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he said unto them, draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast, and they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith to him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. Let's pray for just a moment. Father, we come before your throne this morning as humbly as we know how, asking for your help as we endeavor to preach from this passage of your word. We ask, God, that your spirit would have freedom to move in our midst. I ask, God, that be able to move up and down each row of pews and these chairs, and give us ears to hear what the Spirit of God has to say. Father, we will be careful to give you the praise and the honor and the glory for all you do, for it is your word. This is your church. We are your people. And certainly, Father, we want you to be glorified in all that is said and done. In Jesus' name we do pray, believing. Amen. As we look at this miracle here, and as we read down in verse number 11, it says this is the beginning of miracles. This is the first miracle that Jesus performed in his earthly ministry and his public ministry. There are several things that we see. There's a lot of different things that you could preach from this passage of Scripture. I remember I was preaching in a camp meeting over in Maryland back a few years ago, and I was praying about what to preach one particular evening, and the Lord led me to this passage of Scripture, and I preached on the water pot. And so there's a very striking picture of regeneration of the sinner here about the water pot. And this is just kind of way of introduction, not why I'm going to preach on this morning. But in verse 7, it says, and Jesus said to them, fill the water pots with water. Now we see the condition, this shows us the condition of a sinner. He is like an empty water pot of stone, cold and lifeless. The water pot as it sits there by itself. In verse 6, we see the worthlessness of man's religion to help the sinner. It says that they were after the purifying of the Jews. They were set aside for a particular purpose. The water pots were set apart, designed for ceremonial purpose. But their valuelessness was shown by their emptiness. Again, in verse number 7, we see the Lord command that the pots be filled with water. Water is one of the emblems of the Word of God. In verse number 10, we see that the water pots produced good wine, a symbol of divine joy which fills the soul with joy from the Word of God, being born of the water, the Word of God. Again, in verse number 11, we see that this is the beginning of miracles, and that is exactly what the new birth is. It's a beginning of miracles in a person's life. The first miracle is the miracle of salvation. It tells us also in verse 11 that he manifested his glory. His glory was manifested in this miracle that he performed. We see there in the end of verse number 11, it says, and his disciples believed on him. It's not that this was their first belief of salvation, but their belief that increased their faith to do the work that God had called them to do. So we could preach a whole message just on the water pot. We could preach a whole message in verse number 4 where it says, mine hour is not yet come. That's an interesting study. We see seven times in the Scriptures where He speaks that His hour has not yet come. Well, the first three, four times, not come yet. And then He says the hour is come. We talked about the hour of His crucifixion, His suffering and dying for our sins on the cross at Calvary. Those are all good and wonderful things that we could preach about this morning. But I want to just preach about the Christ in the events of our lives. Jesus is concerned for us. He was so concerned that He left the portals of heaven and came to this earth, took upon Himself the form of man. We've been studying this in the book of Philippians. Took upon Himself the form of a servant, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He humbled Himself and was crucified, probably the worst death that any person could die, on a cross for your sin and mine. We just studied this morning in Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 down through verse 11. We taught about the Christ being exalted. It says that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. He is concerned about our lives. And here we find Him at the marriage of Canaan. And so Christ is interested about the events of our lives. First of all, in verses 1 down through verse 4, we see Christ's participation in the events of life. Notice what it says in our text once again. On the third day, there was a marriage in Canaan of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called and His disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said to Him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come." So here we have Christ in the partition, in the participation of the events of life. The circumstances here is that this was a huge social event. A marriage was taking place. We've all, anybody here not been to a marriage? Marriages are usually a big social event. You invite your friends and your family and maybe co-workers and neighbors and you have a large gathering together. This is a huge social event that was taking place. And we find Jesus there. In the custom there of in Jerusalem there and the surrounding areas, this marriage event, you know, usually our marriage events take place, you know, well, the marriage is going to be at 1 o'clock this afternoon. By 4 o'clock, everything's done. But this event could take place for 7 or 8 days. They had a feast. And it was a huge social event. And Jesus was concerned about this event. He was invited to come. So we have to ask ourselves the question, who was getting married? Was it somebody that Jesus knew? He was invited there. His mother Mary was invited there. Was it a kinsman? Was it one of his brothers or one of his sisters that were getting married? Maybe some other relative? We don't know, but we know that Jesus is there. If this scene teaches us anything, it tells us that Jesus chose to participate in this common, routine, everyday event. He wants to participate in the events of our lives. He desires and deserves to be included in all our life, in every area of our life. We need to invite Him to come and participate in the events of our life. So the circumstances is that it's a huge event. We see the call here. Jesus is here by invitation. He tells us back in verse number 2, and both Jesus was called and His disciples. So here Jesus is called to this and His disciples come. So the call is sent forth and He comes. Listen, don't be guilty of excluding Jesus from any area of your life. He is interested in every area of our lives. He's interested in our job. He's interested in where we live. He's interested in you as a student. He's interested in you as a father or a mother or a grandmother or a grandfather. He's interested in who you marry. He's interested in every area of our lives. And let's not be guilty of excluding Him from any event in our lives. He was invited to come. So often we do things, we make plans, and we don't include Jesus. We just assume that He's going to bless whatever we're going to do. But we need to invite Him to go along, to be with us. Do you know that? Listen, if you're saved this morning, if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, He is with you all the time in the person of the Holy Spirit. At the moment of salvation, He moved into your life. He moved into my life. And He is with me all the time. So therefore, He's already involved. But at the same time, even though He's in us and wants to work in and through us and be involved in the events of our lives, many times we leave Him out. He is interested. He wants to participate in the events of our life. In verse number 4, I see the consideration here. Notice what it says, verses 3 and 4. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said, then they have no wine. And Jesus saying to her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. When Jesus was called, He came. And He was concerned about what was going on. It's interesting, in verse number 4, it says, Jesus said to her, woman. Now this was not a derogatory term. He wasn't saying, woman. Some of the guys I work with, you know, they talk about their old lady. That is shameful. When I speak of my wife at work, I either speak of Janet or my wife. Woman, get in here. Fix me some supper. This was not a derogatory term. It was a term of tenderness. Woman. It was a term of compassion. He says, woman, this is His mother. And when she says there in verse number 3, they have no wine, Jesus said to her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. Boy, I wish I could preach on that for a while this morning too. But says, my time has not come yet. It was a term of compassion. Listen, I want to drive this point home. We should call on Jesus in all the events of our life. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 and 8 says, ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. To him that seeketh, he shall find. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened unto him. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me and I show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. He wants to be involved in the events of our life. Christ wants to participate. And we find in this passage of Scripture that He is participating in this event. He is there because He was invited. He was called. He wants to be called and invited and participate in the events of our lives. Let's not be guilty of excluding Him from any area of our life. Your job, your home, your family, your vacation, the raising of your children. Listen, I'll be the first to admit I wasn't a perfect father. But Janet and I tried to raise our children as best we could. We wanted Jesus involved. I remember a time when He didn't want to go to church. So we drug Him. You're going. I remember a time when, when before he got saved, he said, "Can I sit with so and so at church?" I said, "Yeah, as long as you sit in the same pew as us or the pew in front of us. I won't go let him sit in the back and goof off." I remember a time when we caught him listening to the wrong kind of music. You know what we did? We took his music device away from him. "No, that's mine." I said, "We provided it for you." We wanted Christ in the event of raising our children. I was not a perfect father. I made a lot of mistakes. But by the grace of God, he turned out to be a pretty good guy. Even though there's a few times I wanted to kill him. Now, come on, I know all of you parents have felt that way. But one time, "What's the matter with you, boy?" He's interested in the events of our lives. He wants to participate. Verses 5 down through verse 9, I see Christ's power in the events of life. Notice what it says in verse 5, "His mother saith unto his servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus saith them, fill the water pots with water, and they filled them up to the brim. And he said unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast, and they bear it." So here we see the power of Christ in the events of life. What was the event here? It was a marriage. But what was the problem here? They ran out of wine. Now let me say this. This was not fermented wine. This was not an intoxicating beverage. It was the fruit of the vine, grape juice. So let me just set that clear. You don't find anywhere in this passage of Scripture when it says when they have well drunk. Some would take that out of context and say, "Well, they were drunk." No, when they had well drunk, when they had drank a lot of it, they ran out. We say, "Well, what's the big deal? They ran out." Listen, again, this was a huge social event. It doesn't seem like much of a problem to us, but it was a matter of honor for those who were involved in the wedding. It was the groom's responsibility to make sure there was enough food and enough drink. Now, we usually have a reception afterwards, and it takes place, and the bride and groom and those who get everything ready, mostly the bride, they fret, "Do we have enough food? Is there enough cake? Is there enough peanuts? Is there enough cookies? Is there enough?" And, you know, if we run out, it's really no big deal. Well, they ate it all up. But this was a huge event. It was a matter of honor. It would be a public embarrassment for the groom not to supply sufficient for the wedding feast. We don't see that as a problem, but it was here. There was even the possibility that the family could be fined for not providing enough for the guests. But we see the power of Christ in this event. We plan. And sometimes we plan short. So you know that we are to count the cost. Somebody sets out to build. I think of a church, another church that I used to preach at several years ago. Another church over in Maryland, and the former pastor took the church into a building program, and they built this huge building. I mean, it was unbelievable. But they didn't fully count the cost, and it was just sitting there as a skeleton of a building for years because they didn't have the money to finish it. That building sits there as an embarrassment to the church. So the problem is they ran out of wine. But notice the procedure here. Again, in verse 3, it says, "And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. When the problem arose, notice where Mary takes the problem. To Jesus. When a problem arises in our lives, where do we go? We run to the bank, or we run to the psychologist, or we run here, we run there, we run to this person, we run, go to, you know, doctor who doesn't know it all, and you know, we run everywhere except to Jesus. And they said, we're out of wine, and so where does Mary go? To Jesus. That's what we should do. He's interested in the events of our lives. Whether it's illness, whether it's finances, whether it's a job, whether it's our children, whether it's our health, no matter what it is, He wants us to come to Him. We need to invite Him to be involved in the events of our lives. So when the problem arose, Mary said, I know where to go. When a problem arises in our lives, where do we run? We try to figure it out on our own. We sit around and scratch our heads and we worry and fret, chew our fingernails off. How am I going to take care of this? What am I going to do? Remember back several years ago, Ministry of Evangelism. We're in Alabama. I got to leave from there, from Alabama, where we're at, and go to Cleveland, Ohio. And I started hearing a noise in the engine in our truck. So I took it to a dealer. The mechanic listened to it, and he said, I'm going to be honest with you. He says, it might last another 100,000, and it might only last 100. He said, I really can't tell. My pastor was with me. We went to the parts department and said, how much would it be to put another engine in the truck? You know, he says, we don't have one here, but there's one in Atlanta. I can have it here tomorrow. I said, well, parts and labor, what are we looking at? He said, $10,000. I called Janet up and I said, it's going to take $10,000 to fix the truck. She says, I've got 10. I didn't have $10,000. But you know what we did? We took it to Jesus. We took it to the Lord in prayer. We got others praying with us. And we began to reach out to our supporting churches and folks that had been part of our ministry. And we began to pray and ask God to bring in. Listen, I had 1 week in order to get that motor put in there, get it fixed, and to be in Cleveland. And in less than 7 days, God brought in over $10,000. The truck was paid for. It was ready to go. I could have sat around and worried and fret and chewed on my fingernails. So what am I going to do? But I knew I needed to take it to Jesus. And God provided. That's what Mary did here. She went to Jesus. What do you do when you have a problem, an issue, a situation come into your life? Notice what Mary says in verse number 5. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. See, we need to flee to Jesus, but we need to follow His commands. This is the only time we find Mary given any kind of a command in the Word of God. And she just says to the servants, whatever he says to you, do it. Whatever he says to you, do it. Whatever he says to you from the Word of God, do it. So that's what we need to do. when we have this problem, he's interested in the events of our lives, and we see the power of his intervening or being a part of what's going on in our lives. Mary said to him, whatever he tells you to do, just do it. And in verse 6, we see the performance that takes place. In verse 6, it says, and there were set there 6 water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. And he tells them to fill the water pots. Now remember, these were ceremonial pots. These were not the pots that they were not serving the wine out of these containers. These were set aside for ceremonial washing. And he tells the disciples, says, fill the pots with water. And the Word of God says they filled them to the brim. Now that's significant because, listen, Jesus didn't go over and do it. The disciples didn't go over and do it. The servants, the waiters, those who were there serving, Mary says to them, whatever he tells you to do, just do it. And he says, fill them with water. And they filled him to the brim. Jesus wasn't over there. The disciples weren't over there. So nobody could say that they had some kind of trickery there. It was unconventional what was taking place. Listen, Jesus may not do it your way. What would we do? Somebody run down the Kroger and get some more chips and dip and get some more juice. It was uncommon. Jesus had never done this before and never did it again. Listen, Jesus may not do it the same every time. The same situation may arise and Jesus may perform the miracle in a completely different way. It was unbelievable what took place. And it's interesting, as I was going back and I was reading some commentators on this passage of Scripture, and I never thought about it this way before, but when it says, you know, that they filled the pots with water and filled them to the brim, and then it says that they dipped out and they gave it to the governor of the feast there in verse number 8. And he says to them, draw out now and bear it to the governor of the feast. And they bear it. And verse 9, and when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, knew not whence it was come. This one commentator I was reading said, you know, it wasn't necessarily that whole pot was all wine, but just when they dipped it out, that cup turned to wine. I don't know, I wasn't there. But if Jesus could turn the whole pot to wine, couldn't he just do one cup at a time? Think about in the Old Testament, the woman with the meal. Probably said, make me a little cake. She said, well, I just got enough here for me and my son, then we're going to die. And every time she went to the barrel to dip out more meal, it was there. He's interested in the events of our lives. Verses 9 through 11, we see Christ's provision in the events of life. Notice what it says, and when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom and said unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. And thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. So here we see Christ's provision in the events of life. He provided that which pertained to the flesh. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. You say, what's that mean? Have you read the Word of God? It tells us that we are going to walk on a street of pure gold. The Bible tells us that the gates of the city, which are 12, each one is a pearl. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory. The foundations of that city, there's 12 foundations and they're all precious stone. He provided that which pertained to the flesh. They needed wine and He provided it. He gave them just what they needed in their immediate circumstance. And He'll do the same for you. He provided that which pertained to faith. He will never fail you. He'll always provide. My God shall provide all your need. And sometimes He gives us some of our wants. He provided that which pertained to faith. There, the last part, verse 11, it says, and the disciples believed on Him. Again, as I said earlier, as we began this message this morning, this was not believing faith, but this was growing faith. This was faith that increased their faith. They saw what Jesus did, and it increased their faith. My friend, listen, when we find ourselves in a situation, a problem in our lives, and we take it to Jesus and we see how He provides and how He brings us through, it will increase our faith. He'll do it again, maybe not the same way, but He'll do it again. He provided that which pertained to the future. Verse 11, this beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee. This was the beginning of miracles. Verse 11 says, He manifested His glory. When you see Jesus come through in your hour of need, it will strengthen your faith for the future. And His glory is manifest. Brother Mike Ragland, good preacher friend of ours down in Coleman, Alabama, has a youth camp called Living Waters Youth Camp. When God placed it in his heart to start that camp, he was sitting in his little office at his desk, and he knew God put it in his heart to do it. He didn't have any property, didn't have any buildings, but he knew God put it in his heart to do it. And he was praying, he said, Lord, how am I going to do this? And when he got done praying, he looked at his desk and there was a penny laying there. 1 cent. And the Spirit of God says, you're going to do it with the 1 cent. The 1 cent. Today they have a beautiful campground. Been there for over 30 years now. Beautiful buildings, swimming pool, basketball court, gymnasium, nice chapel, beautiful dining hall. When you take it to the Lord and He brings you through, it'll increase your faith for the future. Christ is interested in the events of our life. Now, I don't know what you're going through today. I don't know why the Lord led me to preach this message. It's just when I received the text from Gary the other day, and he said, you're up to preach this week. I began to pray, and God led me to this passage of Scripture, so you need to preach this. I received a text from a friend of mine Friday morning, Brother Rob Thornton. Pastored in Hastings, Nebraska. Started the church there, pastored there for several years. He's now over in Illinois. He says, I don't know if you remember Tony and Sandy Brayman, but their 25-year-old son was killed in an automobile accident. Actually, a truck accident. He was a truck driver. Hit ice, lost control, ended up in the center median. Another truck coming down the highway lost control, jackknifed, and hit his truck, and it killed him. 25 years old, two children, and another due in March. Brother Rob says, I don't know if you remember them. Yes, I remember them very well. And it's a tragic thing that has happened. But Jesus is interested in that event in their life. He is there if they will just run to Him. Like Mary went to Jesus. And if we'll just do what He says, He will provide for us, whatever the need might be, physically, spiritually, emotionally, whatever it might be. He's interested in every area of our life. Let's stand together with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what situation you're facing. But Jesus is interested in it. He's concerned about you. Maybe you need to just come this morning and get on this old-fashioned altar and say, Lord, I need You. I invite You. I need Your help.